Now, I come to chapter 30 as we're moving along, and we have here, very candidly, the law of vows in chapter 30, and they speak particularly as they refer to women. Now, we've seen that women have been given their rights. They can inherit. Women also have responsibilities. And we called attention in Leviticus. There's a whole chapter there on vows and the importance that God attaches to vows. And he tells the child of God that you better be careful if you're going to make a vow to God. He'll hold you to it. And don't make one foolishly. I think that there's a grave danger today in people promising the Lord too much. As I got to the end of my ministry, I became very reluctant to ask people to take any kind of a vow before God except to accept Christ as Savior. Why? Because I've seen multitudes come to an altar to dedicate their lives. And then, friends, before the week was gone, I've seen the lives of some of those individuals. And I'd be honest with you, the vow was broken. And God holds us to vows. Now, he didn't ask us to make some of them we make, but if you're going to make one to God, and remember, do business with him, because he'll hold you to it. Now, let me read this here, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 30. And Moses spoke unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Now, notice this. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Now, that is very important, and it's very important for Christians today. After all, what does Romans mean? What does Paul mean in Romans when he says that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, how do you believe on him? Why, with your heart. What happens? Well, confession is made by the mouth. And that's been a passage of Scripture that I think's been greatly abused a great deal today. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and that's your vow, that's your statement of faith, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The point of it is, it's not just what the mouth says, it's what the heart believes, friends. And he says they must be brought into agreement. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now you don't believe with your mouth, you say it with your mouth. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So don't say it with your mouth until your heart is singing a duet with you. The mouth and the heart ought to have a duet, and they ought to be singing the same tune. That's exactly what he means about this matter of vows. Now the question is, what about women that make a vow? Listen to this. If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord, and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow, and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. In other words, if a woman makes a vow while she's still single in the home, the father can be held responsible for her, you see. Now, if he keeps quiet when he hears her make the vow, then that vow that she made is going to stand. Now, the father, though, can say, wait just a minute. She's bought this dress, and she's not able to pay for it, and I don't intend to pay for it. Then he's protected in that matter. Now, suppose the woman is a married woman. Well, verse 6, and if she had at all a husband when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it, and he held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vow shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. So that if the husband keeps quiet and says nothing when she buys an expensive dress, but if the husband at that time says, no, sir, I'll not pay for it, then he's not obligated, and that vow will not stand. But you see, the vow the woman made, either the father or the husband, is held to it. But the husband can disallow it as well as the father. I think that here is a great step that is made that actually hasn't been made today. You know, a woman today, and many of them that are gold diggers, they meet a man and they marry him for money. That's true today, especially a young woman marrying an older man. She marries him for his money. And after she's got his name, she can pretty well go to court and get practically everything that he has. And I've seen that happen several times. I saw a Christian man, his wife died, and he got very lonely, and he married this woman, and she was really after his money, and he was a man of means. And he was a member of the church, and he had left money to certain Christian organizations, to several mission boards. Why, do you know that wife came in there and absolutely was able to break the will? And none of these organizations, and they were good organizations, were able to get a dime. Now, I personally think that that's entirely wrong today. And God, you see, made a rule that the husband could disallow it. And also the father could disallow it. And it would be impossible for a wife to sue a rich man and get everything he's got. It just wouldn't stand, unless he himself permitted it, of course. But many of them haven't been able to protect themselves at all. I've had in several cases where a man has told me, "Well, this woman married me for my money. She got everything that I had." Well, that's the foolishness of mankind, you see. Somebody said God made women beautiful and dumb. He made them beautiful so men would marry them, and made them dumb so they'd marry the man. But they're not so dumb, friends. Some of them are very smart in this type of thing. Now, God says in verse 9, "But every vow of a widow and of her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound their souls, shall stand against her." In other words, if she's a widow, she stands on her own two feet, and the vow that she makes will stand. It's quite interesting, these vows, how important they are to God. He wants his people always to be as good as their word, because of the fact that Christ took an oath. Again and again you find that in Scripture, that God took an oath. He took an oath to David, and God intends to make that good. Now, God made a contract, an oath. You'll recall to Abraham, and we find also the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, that's the Word of God. His Word stands, friends. He said he'd save you if you'd trust Christ. That dear little Scotch woman who told her unbelieving son, been away to college, when he said, "Why, your soul don't amount to very much. Even if you lost it, you wouldn't lose much." And she thought it over and said, "I agree with you. I wouldn't lose much. But if I lost my soul, then God would lose more than I would." And he wanted to know how that could be. Says, "You admit that I'd only lose my soul. It doesn't amount to much. But if I do lose my soul, God will lose his reputation. Because he said he'd save me. And I trusted him." May I say, God will stand by his word. His oath is good. He doesn't have to take an oath. All he has to do is to say it, and it is true. And he wants those who represent him down here to be that kind of a people. Those who, when they make an oath, they stand by it. And that is the thing that should represent the Christian in this world.